the Radio 4 this afternoon's play, which is set in Florence and reveals the story behind one of the greatest sculptures of the Italian Renaissance, The Head of Medusa by George Brandt.
We are now in front of the Loggia della Signoria, an open building built in the 1300 for public political gatherings and ceremonies. And little by little, even the Loggia has become a museum of sculpture outdoor. And this happened mostly under Cosimo I, the first Grand Duke of Tuscany of the Medici family. And the statue of Perseus by Benvenuto Cellini was commissioned by Cosimo I around 1544, and it took 9 years.
My name is Benvenuto Cellini. My father's name was Giovanni. My mother's Elisabetta. Both my parents were Florentines. I first began writing this life of mine in my own hand, but it took up too much of my time. So when I came across a young boy of about 14 who was in a poor state of health, I set him to the task. And while I worked, I dictated my life to him.
Yes, sir, I have taken it all down. Your early training as a goldsmith, your service as a jeweler for the Pope, and your fantastic exploit string seizure for him.
When I defended the Holy Father's life.
And then all your marvellous work as a goldsmith for the King of France.
As a sculptor, if you please. A sculptor! Now, you've got all that. Good. Now prepare to hear something different, something special. I don't generally mention it, but posterity deserves to know. Poised for dictation, are we?
Yes, Master Cellini. Ready. Sir?
A halo. I have a halo.
A what?
You heard.
You mean like a saint?
Like a saint. Precisely. Impudent puppy. Just because you haven't seen it, that way you're grinning. Of course you haven't seen it. It's only seen by popes, emperors and kings. Persons of that ilk.
I see, sir. Of course, sir.
My halo is very clear for 2 hours after sunrise, especially when the grass is dewy.
God must like you a lot. Is that why you're such a great sculptor, sir?
Indeed, I am singularly blessed. How could I, without the direct help of the Almighty, have finished my great Perseus and Medusa?
Speak to the men before we begin, Bernardino. Now make them stop this infernal racket. Pipe down, for God's sake. Master Cellini wants a word with you. Silence!
Right. Now listen, men. A commander addresses his troops before a battle. What we're about to undertake is a battle, and we shall conquer with the help of Almighty God. The statue we are going to cast, by methods never attempted before, the twin statue of Perseus and Medusa.
Want to eat anybody? Drop of wine?
Get out, woman! This is men's business, for Christ's sake!
Just a snack, a nibble.
You heard Master Cellini, Piera. Get out!
Oh, you might be peckish, that's all.
You're a useless tit. Out!
As I was saying, Perseus and Medusa will, nay, must, outshine all sculptures ever created, ancient as well as modern. Now, men, during the casting, I want you to work your balls off for the city of Florence, for Cellini, and for yourselves. The reward for each and every one of you will be a seat at the eternal banquet of fame.
Be that Benvenuto Cellini, our noble master. Hooray!
Stand by, men. This is the moment. Light the furnace. Go!
As you see now, there's an empty space under the loggia, and the original Perseus is under restoration. We will go very soon inside a special laboratory, which is inside Uffizi Gallery, just around the corner, where everybody can see how they are now cleaning and restoring the work itself. The Perseus is almost 10 feet without the basement. It took almost 9 years to complete, and it was a very difficult task. First of all, for the size of the statue and the medium, and thinking of all the problems that he was confronted with, it's a miracle that he could make it. Incidentally, 90% of the information about all of those problems was given by Benvenuto Cellini himself in his famous autobiography. 50% is solid and good information. 50% is self-praise and self-propaganda. Benvenuto Cellini, page 1, says, I'm the best artist in Florence. And page 700, I'm still the best artist in Florence.
There's something puzzles me, sir. If you don't mind, sir.
And what might that be?
Why does the Almighty, I mean...
Yes?
Bless you in all things, even in murder.
Murder? What do you mean, you pimple, you minimus murder?
Well, sir, you told me yourself, sir. I mean, like the time when you stabbed the man who killed your brother.
That's not murder, you fool. That's revenge, execution, God's own justice. Yes, I am handy with a blade. I'm a man. My blood was up that day. Blood, crying out for blood. My brother dead. I wept. I stalked his enemy. Crept up on him like a panther. Pounced, and in a flash, drove my dagger in between the neck bone and the nape of his rotten neck. My eyes saw red, my teeth ground like a sawmill. He dropped at once. The blade went in so deep, I couldn't pull it out again. And nor could anyone else, believe you me.
I do believe you. But you must have been, well, just a wee bit concerned, sir.
Not a jot. Why should I be? I had God on my side in a noble deed.
God on your side, sir?
Oh, yes. God is my refuge and my strength, you see.
I see.
The Lord is a very present help in trouble, my boy. Remember that.
I shall, sir. A very present help.
Our Duke was at Poggio a Caiano, a place 10 miles distant from Florence. It was the month of August, 1545. I went there to find him with the sole purpose of paying my proper respects, seeing that I, too, was a Florentine citizen, and my forefathers had been great friends of the House of Medici. When I encountered the Duke, he greeted me with tremendous affection.
So you served King Francis as a sculptor, too?
Very much so.
My wife was the world duke, as a jeweler.
Oh, which I was at one time, yes.
Eleanor is anxious to commission some work from you.
Greatly honored, my lord. Alas, I may have to decline Her Highness's request. Huh? I've come to see myself above all as a sculptor. As for my other craft work, jewelry, medals, coins, tableware...
Which Eleanor admires enormously. Your skills are peerless. There is, of course, no lack of sculptors in Florence. Take Baccio Bandinelli, for one. His group of Hercules and Cacus in the Piazza.
Saints preserve me.
I beg your pardon?
Hercules and Cacus, that travesty of art. Bandinelli is a butcher in marble.
I'd have you know that I commissioned that piece, Cellini.
Humble apologies, my lord, but that impostor has failed a noble patron. Bandinelli stole the plan from Michelangelo.
To come back to your work in France.
There I was, a sculptor, my lord, under the patronage of their magnanimous king.
Yes, I've heard about the candelabrum you made for him in the shape of Jupiter.
Pure silver, the same imposing height as his majesty himself.
My informants tell me you experienced, shall we say, some difficulty with the magnanimous king.
Not so, not so. What difficulty? Your excellency's informants are, with all due respect, dolts or liars.
I think not. But the road from France to Italy is long and bumpy. Stories get jumbled.
Well, the facts, Your Excellency, are these. When I'd finished my Jupiter, I was to show him to His Majesty in the great gallery of the Chateau of Fontainebleau. I placed my Jupiter with his gilded base on a concealed wooden plinth. This was mounted on four wooden casters a child could have mounted. Now, here is my Jupiter, a globe in his left hand, a thunderbolt held aloft in his right. The shadows in the gallery lengthen. I put a wax taper within the thunderbolt and light it. At that moment, King Francis and his entourage enter from the far end of the gallery. My assistant, concealed behind the statue, slowly pushes Jupiter towards the royal party. The king of the gods halts in front of the king of France, who does not flinch. He stands firm. A long silence. And then the king says, "This is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen." So much for his opinion of me.
Enough said, my dear fellow. You're not going back to France. That's settled.
I do not quite read Your Excellency's meaning.
A project I've been pondering for some time. Very Medici. I've come to think Bandinelli may not be the man for it.
Well, what is it? Your Excellency will not permit that butcher to get his hands on.
A statue. A statue of Perseus. You might be the ideal choice for that.
Now, which of Perseus's many feats would Your Excellency wish to immortalize?
He's holding up the head of Medusa immediately after he's severed it from her body.
And a symbol of the triumphs of your noble house.
Some onlookers might see it that way, perhaps.
And where would the statue be placed?
In the most conspicuous place in Florence. The loggia by the old palace.
Near the masterpieces of Donatello and Michelangelo.
Indeed. Tempted?
And near Bandinelli's atrocity. Ah, well. The piazza is open to all sorts of traffic. Golden coaches as well as shit carts. Yes, Your Excellency. Perseus does tempt me. I accept.
Bravo.
And does Your Excellency wish the statue to be executed in bronze or marble?
Oh, bronze, I should say. Marble can be so troublesome. Yeah. My dear fellow, I am delighted. Splendid distraction, all this, from my wars with Siena, which drained me of energy and gold, alas. You want a contract, anything like that?
Oh, I rely implicitly on your lordship's magnanimity.
Well done. But I promise you, once you work for the House of Medici, you will be amazed at our generosity. Provided you please me, of course.
Excuse me, sir. May I ask a question?
If it's short.
Who exactly was Perseus?
You benighted child. Don't they teach you anything these days? No Greek mythology?
I miss that because of my chest, sir.
Well, his father was Jupiter, who begot him on a mortal woman, Danae. She was a princess kept in a tower by her father.
But if she was locked up, how did Jupiter manage to...
Ah, good question. In a shower of gold, that's how. Gold buys love. Lesson number one, my boy.
How did Perseus become a hero, then?
He went off to bring his adoptive father, the head of Medusa, the only one of the Gorgons who was mortal.
The Gorgons, sir?
Yes, the Gorgons. You didn't do them at school either, did you? The Gorgons were three sisters with serpents on their heads instead of hair.
Oh, nasty.
Quite. If you so much as looked at them, you turned to stone.
So how did Perseus...
I'm coming to that. He needed the help of the gods, of course. Supposing you had to kill Medusa, what do you reckon you'd need?
Don't know, sir. Well, if I had something like... so the Gorgons couldn't see me.
Smart boy. That's exactly why Pluto gave Perseus his own helmet, to make him invisible. And how would you travel to Scythia, where the Gorgons used to hang out?
Don't know, by elephant?
Yeah. Why do I waste my time on you? I'll tell you what Perseus did. Got himself a pair of wings from the god Mercury, that's what. And Minerva gave him a shield, bright as a polished mirror.
So, you could see the Gorgon without being turned to stone.
A tiny pearl of wisdom at last. And after Perseus had chopped off Medusa's head, her sisters couldn't see him because of Pluto's helmet.
But wasn't that cheating, sir?
Cheating?
With all that help from the gods, I didn't think Perseus was all that much of a hero.
You silly child. He was Jupiter's son. The gods always help a winner. Lesson number two, right?
What a performance. Get Piera to make you a hot lemon drink before you go.
I gladly set to work on a model, and in a few weeks had it finished. It was a foot and a half in height, in yellow wax, all beautifully made, with great care and skill. The Duke came to Florence, and several days passed before I had an opportunity of showing him the model. But then one day, after dinner, he came to inspect it, along with the Duchess and a few other noblemen. It pleased him, and as soon as he set eyes on it, he began praising it extravagantly.
Oh, my dear Benvenuto, if you produce a large work as excellent as this small model, it will be the finest piece in the piazza.
I rejoice that your illustrious excellency approves.
In matters of art, you can safely rely on my judgment, Benvenuto.
As indeed I do. But there is something else I hope to rely on as well, my lord.
Which is?
Your munificence, my lord. I need money. The sooner the better. To forge ahead with the work.
Not now, Cellini. Not now.
But the matter is urgent, my lord.
I was talking art, not Luca.
My housekeeper, Piera, lacks money for food, your excellency.
Enough! This is neither the time nor the place. Send me a petition setting out your requirements. Good day to you, sir.
His excellency afterwards gave express orders to his major domo. I spoke to this beast and told him what I needed, how there was a kitchen garden by the house where I wanted to build a workshop. Right away, he handed my business over to a contractor. As the devil would have it, this little pipsqueak with his spidery hands and tiny gnat's voice had stones and sand and lime brought along. But he was no quicker than a snail, and the quantities delivered were just enough to build a pigeon house, though with some difficulty.
You want to see me, Bernardino?
Yes, sir. Some of the men you've hired alongside me are, well, useless. I'd fire old Giulio for a start.
He's all right.
Never pull his weight, sir. I can do his job.
Very well. I appoint you foreman. But we need more staff, actually.
Won't be easy, sir. I hear Bandinelli is hiring every craftsman in sight.
Naturally, to spite me. How's young Cencio doing?
Useless. I'd send him packing, sir.
Send who packing?
And get back to the kitchen, woman.
Why keep him, sir? Because that damn mother of his might raise hell?
I told you, Benvenuto, hiring the son of a whore is asking for trouble.
Ah, never mind, La Gambetta. Used to be a good lay, I should think. Her Cencio's a handsome lad. He'll make a fine nude model for Perseus. We must hang on to him.
Well, don't hang on too tight. You know it's against the law in Florence.
Ah, don't be ridiculous, woman. Stop fussing. All we need now is a female model for Medusa.
So you told me, sir. I found her for you. Name of Dorothea da Carota.
How old?
16.
Oh, pretty.
Very. The first flush of youth. Just keep your hands off her, too.
Don't you worry, Piera. You know me.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's just it.
I had already begun to work on the figure of the large Medusa and had constructed its iron framework. I covered it in clay and baked it thoroughly. Then I spread on the wax and finished it. Meanwhile, His Excellency was always talking with great admiration of my artistic skill. And then his major domo went along to the mother of my shop boy, Cencio, and the two of them, that dishonest whore, Gambetta, and that villain of a courtier, plotted together. Well, one Saturday evening, this Gambetta came to me with her son.
Say this poor boy here, sir. I've had to keep him locked up for several days so we'd be safe.
What are you blabbering about?
It's all your bloody doing, Mr. Cellini. You and your wicked ways. What you been up to?
Don't make me laugh, you old trout.
The poor boy. He's scared shitless. You've stuffed him, haven't you, in more ways than one?
Shut your gob, you greasy lump.
Sir, the chief of police is looking for him all over on account of what you done with him.
Done with him? I've used him as a model and he gets good money for that.
You've used him for a bloody sight more than modelling. That's why the police are after him.
Stop caterwauling, you old tart.
The Duke's Majordomo wants you arrested, you old pedophile. He knows you've been in trouble with the law before and that you have blood on your hands. Yes, blood.
Another minute and I'll have a lot more blood on my hands.
Come, come, Mr. Cellini. Let's talk like Christians. Now, if you were to give me 200 crowns...
What's that?
Well, all right. Let's say 150.
Blood and damnation!
Or let's just say 100 crowns.
Whatever for, you old sollop.
Then the prosecution will be called off.
Get out of here, you rusty old thumbscrew. If it weren't for that poor boy there shivering like the damned, I'd tickle your vile throat with this dagger. Now. Yes, now. Piss off, Gambetta! Out! Out, you old trout!
Villainy! Rip! Rotten of hands! Pedophile!
I immediately set to work on the construction of a little furnace. As soon as it was finished, I began to get ready to cast the statue of Medusa, the woman writhing under the feet of Perseus. The first cast I made in my furnace came out superlatively well. It delighted his most illustrious excellency, and he came a few times to see it. But Bandinelli's mad envy was so effective that he made him think that although I had cast one or two statues, I would never succeed with making the group.
Ah, Benvenuto, my dear fellow, do join us. I wanted you to have a look at this little statue I've just been sent. Tell me what you think.
What artistry. What a superb piece. It's the finest piece of ancient sculpture it's ever been my good fortune to behold. And to handle.
A connoisseur. Gentlemen, I knew I could depend on Benvenuto's judgment. Ah, do come in, Bandinelli.
A very good afternoon, Your Highness. Cellini, you here too? How goes it with you?
Better than you think, Baccio.
Tell me, Bandinelli, what do you make of this little addition to my collection?
Greek?
It is.
A genuine piece?
Do you doubt it?
Interesting. But I fear... not quite up to today's standards.
Oh.
The ancients, for all their qualities, knew nothing about anatomy. Hence, most of their works are, alas, flawed.
Gods, give me patience.
Now, Cellini, this runs counter to what you've been telling me. Let's hear you defend our little Greek boy.
Well, your most illustrious excellency, I beg you to bear in mind that our friend Baccio is himself a flawed character. As soon as he claps his weary eyes on anything, it too becomes flawed.
Your turn, Thatcher.
As you can see, I'm the victim of spite and envy. I always have been. You remember that when I unveiled my group of Hercules and Cacus, which your excellency graciously commissioned, more than 100, yes, 100 venomous sonnets were written against it.
Quite right, too. Your group stank.
Oh, yes, indeed. Pray, what was wrong with it?
Never mind my opinion. Just let me quote the opinion of all the artists of Florence. These men of great renown say that if your Hercules' hair was shaved off, there wouldn't be enough of his paint to hold in his brain.
Very droll, I'm sure. Any more shining insights?
Certainly. They say Hercules' shoulders are like the pommels of an ass's pack saddle. His muscles, why, they're like a big sack of melons set up against the wall.
Oh, you impudent... impudent goldsmith!
As a sculptor, mind you, I note that your Hercules arms suggest that in all your anatomical studies, you've never seen a live nude.
Unlike you, of course.
Of course?
Oh, you... yes, we all know about your studio, crawling with nudes of, yes, every description. You dirty sodomite!
What do you say to this grave accusation, Benvenuto?
It's clear that Baccio, the butcher, would like to see me on his butcher's block, bleeding and dismembered, but he's gone too far, gentlemen. His cleaver is blunt. Baccio, speak for your own transgressions against the laws of heaven and earth. I wish to God I did know how to indulge in the noble practice you mention. Alas, I do not. It's the privileged pastime of popes, emperors, and kings. I... as a humble mortal, have neither the means nor the knowledge to indulge in such marvels.
Bravo, bravo. Well, that was most entertaining, gentlemen. I enjoyed it. But let's call a halt for now.
The round goes to Benvenuto, a clear winner.
Oh, enough dictation for one night, my boy. Run along now.
I have a question, sir.
Well, I'll make it brief. It's late.
Well, what that fuss about Chenchu with your Perseus, taking his clothes off. What I mean is...
Yes?
Well, sir, what about the girl, Dorothea, then?
What about her?
Did she have to take your clothes off, too?
Naturally. I mean, that's what models do.
Well, then, did she...
I forget. Years ago, all that. You better toddle off home to bed now.
Good night, sir.
Ah, how's dinner coming along, Piero? What is it, old thing? You look as if you swallowed a tadpole.
Glad you've noticed, sir. Do you pay equally as much attention to your Dorothea?
I have to. Why, I see her all the time. Mostly on her back, of course.
On her back?
Medusa has to lie on the ground. Headless, you know. Supposed to be dead.
Dorothea's very, very much alive. Too much so, perhaps.
Meaning?
She's 4 months pregnant.
Indeed. A little baggage.
By you, she says.
Oh, yes, well, it's conceivable. Hell and damnation. Damn. What's to be done?
That's for you to say, sir.
Bernardino!
Sir?
You've ordered the pine logs for the firing.
I have, a couple of days ago.
Good man! Well done. Dorothea's pretty, don't you think?
Oh, she's beautiful, yes. A great Medusa. Why do you ask?
I want you to do me a favour.
Of course, sir. What?
Marry her.
What?
Right away.
Right away?
Right away.
Me? Really? Right away, you say?
Right away.
Well, sir, I... This is... Why should I, sir?
To make an honest woman of her. There's a child on the way. That's part of the bargain. That you won't regret it. I might even adopt the brat in time.
Do I really have to? All right. All right, then. If you say so, sir.
I do. And, Piera, you'd better look after the mother-to-be. Women's business, you're good at that.
Oh, what a pain you are, Benvenuto. Poor girl. Well, I suppose I must.
Yes, you must.
Look at those arms. That left arm.
Powerful, isn't it?
We are now inside the special laboratory inside the Uffizi, where they're now cleaning and restoring the statue of Perseus. The more than 2 tons of bronze were used by Cellini, and it was cast in one piece in a special workshop that was built just for that casting. We don't have an example of a statue of bronze, so two tons of bronze cast in one piece like this before, and not even after. It's a masterpiece, first of all, because Cellini was able to express on a larger scale his ability and skill of a goldsmith. And the statue of Perseus, you know, the largest of that kind in bronze, still retains some of the skill, the preciousness of the jewel, especially in the details. And he did not invent anything. I mean, the casting with the terracotta, with the lost wax system, was a very old technique, a very old way, but never used for such a large work. And it was perfectly aware that it was a challenge.
I had cast the Medusa, and it came out very well. And then, very hopefully, I brought the Perseus to completion. I had already covered it in wax, and the Duke thought it extremely beautiful. But the Duchess was always asking me to do some goldsmith's work for her. In response, I told her that the whole of Italy knew that I was a good goldsmith, but Italy had never seen any works of sculpture from my hand. There were a number of sculptors who jeered at me, but I hoped to show them that I was no novice if, by the grace of God, I could finish my Perseus and exhibit it on His Excellency's piazza.
Cellini, I'm worried.
My lord?
This figure, splendid as it is, cannot succeed in bronze.
And pray, why not?
The rules of art.
I beg your pardon.
The rules of art do not permit it.
Your Excellency wouldn't perchance be echoing somebody else's opinion. I can only assume that your most illustrious Excellency, though outstanding in statesmanship and war, doesn't fully understand the business of casting.
Look here. As a Medici, I claim to know something about art.
Yes, Your Excellency, as a patron, but not as an artist. Let me show you, my lord. Look. I'm building a furnace at enormous cost to myself, a cost not yet reimbursed, by the way, and I'm doing something completely original. Apart from other refinements, I'm building two outlets for the bronze because of the difficulty of the twisted figure.
Yes, but that's just it. How can you possibly succeed with the head of Medusa way up there and the hand of Perseus?
With all due respect, if Your Excellency really understood bronze casting, you wouldn't be worried about the head. You'd be worried about the right foot.
You love to contradict me, don't you?
No, Your Excellency. Fire, by its nature, tends upwards, and that's why Medusa's head will come out very well, but it doesn't flow downwards. So I'll have to force it that way by artificial means. The real problem is Perseus' foot.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing. As it is, the whole project has been dragging on long enough, in all conscience. Damned expensive lark, if you ask me.
I clothed my wax Perseus with the clays I had prepared some months previously. I carefully enclosed it with iron supports and began to draw off the wax by means of a slow fire. It flowed out through the air vents I had made. Then I built a funnel-shaped furnace around my Perseus. It was made of bricks with a great many gaps for the fire to escape more easily. Then I began to lay on wood, keeping the fire going for 2 days and nights. When all the wax was gone and the mold well baked, I at once began to dig the pit in which to bury it. I turned my attention to the furnace. I'd had it filled with a great many blocks of copper and other bronze scraps, so piled up that the flame would play through them.
More logs, men! Pile them into the furnace!
Get a move on, Tonino!
Like a mad flea at your age. Look at
now, this is a critical moment, woman. Bugger off, you old gargoyle.
Gargoyle, eh? You look pretty moldy yourself.
Piss off and look after your brats.
My brats, I like that. Nothing to do with you, I suppose.
More logs, Batista. Come on, more.
More logs. I feel terrible.
Careful now. You have a stroke. Better lie down, dearie.
The strain was more than even my strong constitution could bear. I was suddenly attacked by a bout of fever and had to throw myself onto my bed. Very upset, forcing myself away from the work, I gave instructions to Bernardino, do exactly as I've shown you and be very quick about it as the metal will soon be ready. As for myself, I'd never felt so ill in my life. I spent 2 hours fighting off the fever, which all the time increased in violence, and I kept shouting out, I'm dying!
Sorry to come barging in, sir. It can't be helped. There's an emergency.
Emergency?
There's a great gale blowing outside, and it's raining cats and dogs. There's water coming into the workshop roof, so the metal's caked.
Caked? They're lazy dogs, you sluggers, parasites, villains!
But maybe the furnace isn't...
There's nothing wrong with my design, damn it!
You stay in bed!
I can't! Take your hands off me, you old gargoyle!
Hold them out!
You're a slag! Don't just stand there, you sons of Belial!
Maybe we should break up the furnace.
Damage the mould.
Well, I mean...
Don't let the roof catch fire, but keep the furnace going, Daniel.
Well, which is it, sir? Water or fire?
Both, at once.
The rain's coming in through the roof.
Then at least they won't burn down. Good. Tonino, up onto the roof. Put out the fire. Battista, shove some boards up against the windows. Keep the rain out.
Feed the furnace.
Yes, it's beginning to flow. Ah, we're losing metal. We're running short.
But what's to be done?
Feed in more copper.
That's all there is.
Piera, fetch my pewter dishes, my plates, my bowls, my salvers.
But that's a huge...
Matteo, Luigi, help Piera bring in the dishes.
Bring in all of you. Come on, all of you. Bring it in. Into the furnace.
Oh, what a shame.
Come on.
All that fine tableware.
Stop wailing. Get the men to fetch all the rest.
Not all of them.
You heard.
All of it. And everything.
Ready now. Knock out the plugs.
It's flowing.
Vesuvius.
Sir, a fiery birth.
Vesuvius.
And the head of Medusa united in death.
Now back to bed, do you?
Nonsense, I haven't felt better in my life. You lay on a snap-up meal, Piera. A feast, best you ever done. The men will need it when all this is finished, eh? Don't count the ducats, Piera. Hang the expense. A big spread, a regular banquet. We've done it. Eureka! We've done it, men! We've done it!
I left the cast to cool for 2 days. And then, very slowly, I began to uncover it. I found everything perfect. Until I reached the foot of the right leg on which Perseus rests. The toes of the foot had not come out. Although this meant a little more work, I was very glad of it, merely because I could show the Duke that I knew my business.
Brilliant. Really beautiful.
This total look of warped abandonment.
As pleased my immortal and glorious Lord and God, I put the final touches to the statue. And on the 27th of April, 1554, a Thursday morning, I completely uncovered it. It was not yet full day, but immediately such a vast crowd gathered in the piazza that it would have been impossible to number them. They all began praising it unanimously.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? For its size, it seems to float almost.
1.5 tons probably in that upper part of the body, which is like a heavyweight boxer, and it's all going through that tiny right ankle. It's all standing up. I mean, it is quite extraordinary that it all stays still, isn't it, rather than just toppling sideways.
Very graceful pose. And then here we're holding up a severed head.
The expressions on the faces are quite tranquil.
Well, I find it quite brutal, actually, that naked, prone woman. When you don't see the head, you don't see that it's Medusa, you just look at the man standing over a naked, prone woman. I find the whole thing quite disturbing and quite shocking.
The Duke was standing at one of the lower windows of the palace above the door, and so, half hidden, he heard everything that was being said. After listening there for several hours, he rose to his feet with great animation and joy and said, "Benvenuto has made me far happier than I expected. I'll reward him in a way that he'll find astonishing."
We now see the self-portrait of Benvenuto Cellini between the wings of the helmet. You see the eyes and the nose quite long and the moustache and the mouth. He seems to be pretty worried. It's a kind of almost angry expression. More aggressive, probably, than the face of Perseus himself.
I waited eagerly for the following day, and at last I made my way to the palace. But His Excellency's Major Domo called me and said in a haughty voice, "The Duke says you're to let me know what you want for your Perseus." This made me furiously angry, above all because the message was delivered by such a venomous toad. I said that even if the Duke were to give me 10,000 crowns, it would not be enough. The following day, when I came to court, His Excellency said angrily, "Cities and great palaces are built with tens of thousands of crowns."
And what did he offer you in the end?
A paltry 3,500 crowns.
A
that's all you got, sir? Really?
Would that I had got it. No such luck, my boy. The Duke arranged for the Major Domo to pay me 100 gold crowns each month. And so it went for a few months. But then the wretched flunky paid me only 50. Later, he'd sometimes pare it down to 25. And sometimes he didn't pay me anything at all.
Nothing at all, sir?
Art, you see, is one thing, my boy.
One thing, sir? Yes.
But power is something else altogether. A sharper edge. Almost makes you see Medusa's point of view, poor thing.
Come to bed, my little greybeard. Snuggle up against your Piera, my puppet.
Cheeky. No respect since I made an honest woman of you, Medusa.
Don't Medusa me, you old Perseus. I've borne you 5 kids, haven't I?
Yeah.
As well as looking after your Dorothea's bairn when you adopted him.
All right. You funny old gargoyle.
Oh.
Do you know, I was really sad when Dorothea's little Michelangelo died. Cut to the quick. Those tears you saw me shed came from the heart.
There, there. All that was years ago.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, stop it, Benvenuto. Not tonight. No. At your age, too.
Well, a good craftsman keeps his tools sharp.
Oh, you're a good craftsman, all right. But not tonight, Benny. I need my sleep.
What did you say, sir, when that villain of a Major Domo held back the money he owed you?
At first, I begged him to let me know why he hadn't paid me in full. Complete waste of time, that. He muttered something about military expenditure, the war with Siena and all that. Then he promised, mind you, to settle in full as soon as the cash was available. Liar. When he died and took his place down among the damned, I still found myself out of pocket. Indeed, to this very day, I'm owed 500 crowns by the exchequer.
What a wretch. But surely the Duke, sir.
What about the Duke?
A man of honour. A nobleman. Surely.
Yeah, don't make me laugh. Cosimo's a real Medici, my boy. A patron, if you like, but a penny pincher, a tightwad. A merchant at heart. Not what I call a real Duke. He thinks of himself as Perseus.
With the head of Medusa.
You've said it, my boy. Holding aloft the head of Medusa, triumphantly. An economical triumph. I call it cheap. Huh. A real Medici.
The Head of Medusa was written by George Brandt. Tim Pigott-Smith played Benvenuto Cellini, Pamela Miles, Piera, and John Telfer, Duke Cosimo I. Paul B. Davis was Cellini's assistant Bernardino, Andrew Hilton, Bandinelli, Sheila Hannan, La Gambetta. The part of the boy was played by Nick Moore. Professor Marcello Bellini of the British Institute Florence played himself. Other parts were taken by students of the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School. For Cellini's workshop, thanks to Pangolin Editions, Stroud. The production manager was Hilary Field, and the play was directed in Bristol by Sarah Davis.